With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing podcast.
I'm sprung, it's spring training, got me watching kids I've never knew, something,
wow.
Something telling you. What's up, everyone? That sound, of course, means that it's spring training. We've made it. We have sprung, just like T-Pain and just like me, your host, Matthew Robertson. I'm thrilled to be talking about baseball with my dear pals on the internet, Kate Prusser and John Troopin, who I'm sure are just completely in awe of the musical talent they just listen to.
Entirely.
Awe is correct.
Just absolutely bowled over.
Yeah, we've all been sprung. It happens to the best of us.
I'm delighted, honestly. Please keep this same energy throughout the entire season, because we're going to need it.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know in that song that T-Pain says she's cutting off all his homies, even all his other ronies?
Whoa.
Like macaronis?
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to dig
his
into.
Italian
and I'm
friends?
Sure is the big... Yeah, his Italian friends, I believe.
Is this
been
a Yankee Doodle situation?
Potentially. Was that what Yankee Doodle was about? Because I also now am having some serious questions.
Stuck a feather in his cap and called them all his ronies? I don't know.
I believe that's how it went. Revolutionary times, you could really get away with anything. So
that's true. One thing I do know about T-Pain, he has a tattoo on his neck that just says tattoo. And I think that is hilarious.
Interesting. He went to the same place Jose Altuve went, it sounds like.
Oh, man, I'm not going to get tired of getting off jokes at the Astros' expense for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and now we have another person to just lob grenades at, Mr. Rob Manfred. Even LeBron is joining in. It's so great to watch the entire sports world realize that baseball can be fun if we're all collectively making fun of the same thing.
Exactly. The enemy of my enemy is LeBron, apparently. It's fantastic. Who knew?
Yeah. It's very true. But luckily, Rob Manfred has not canceled spring training yet or figured out a way to tweak it into oblivion. For the most part, it remains exactly the same. But this year's Mariners spring training in particular actually I would say, I mean, we're very biased, but there can't be that many other teams who are just really, like, emptying the farm. You know what I mean? Like, we get to actually watch the players that are pretty much the entire organization's hope.
Future.
Yeah. And, like, they're all going to be in one place. That's incredible. And, like, obviously, like, a lot of other teams will have their top prospects there. But it feels like the Mariners are really, like, doing almost like a fashion show sort of thing. Where it's like, here's everyone. They get to come out and wave at people and look cool in their uniforms and all that.
I just want to say, like, it was a year and November, December. It was a year and 3 months ago that I wrote the first, one of the first, if not the first, like, Mariners coverage of Julio Rodriguez when he was, you know, basically unknown to a huge segment of the fan base. You know, he was just a kid, and we met up in the parking lot of the Peoria Sports Complex and just chatted. And to see from that 1 year and some change for him to just be like this, it's been so fun to watch everyone discover Julio Rodriguez and discover, like, just the joy that is Julio. And it's amazing how far he's come in just such a short time. And it's cool to see him being so heavily featured. And, like, I've been very struck, like you, with how much of the media we've seen come out of spring training to focus on Julio and Jared and Jake Fraley even getting, you know, a fair amount of attention. And obviously that's where the fun is, but you know, for a site that's been pretty prospect focused, I think, for the last couple years especially, it's really cool to see everybody else, like, picking up this mantle and getting excited about guys we've been excited about for a long time.
I think that's a big part of it. And especially, like, with Julio, it is the type of thing where it's like, we can see it just because we were spending time, you know, whether it was talking with him, watching him, talking to people who were coaching or playing with him. But, you know, you don't want to necessarily overcommit when you, like, we're fans. Like, we take it seriously when we're putting in evaluations and when we're trying to talk about the team. But, like, you know, obviously we want these guys to succeed too, and to see the rest of the organization and to see other news outlets and to see essentially nationally people all pretty much come away with that same impression of, like, wow, this guy is a special personality and a special kind of player. And these other guys that they've brought into the organization also have some promise, also are exceeding expectations. You know, it still doesn't necessarily get to, you know, it's not all at T-Mobile Park yet, which is makes it tough because it's still going to be rough in you know, on the field there probably this year. But it makes it a lot more gratifying to feel like, okay, well, we're not just, you know, we're not just talking out of our asses about this stuff. No. We're actually providing, you know, things that are being backed up when the rest of the world is then puts their, you know, puts their magnifying glass right over it. So that's been really cool. And to get to see these guys in better video, in actual Mariners uniforms, it's pretty fun. And I think especially for someone like Matthew, who's a little less, you know, interested in the prospects all the way down, that's got to make it feel a little bit more real, right? Like, just to actually see these guys in ostensibly Mariners uniforms playing, doing things with other Mariners players.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was actually today, today is Tuesday the 18th when we're recording, where there was Root Sports was doing a bunch of interviews, and they had the players actually wear, like, the Mariners home jerseys, like the whites, not
oh,
just
yeah,
the,
that's right.
the blue.
Yeah, Tim about had a heart attack seeing Julio in the home whites.
Yeah, we got to see Julio and Jared. They did, like, a group photo shoot. We think that they purposely chose mirroring jersey numbers. Julio is number 85 in spring training and Jared is 58, big mm-hmm. like fourth line hockey numbers, but it's spring training, so what are you gonna do? And I think that, like, 58 to me feels so specific that Jared was like, oh, Julio's 85, let me get 58, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that was a coincidence at all. But you're right, seeing them in the Mariner uniform, like, it definitely, I really do feel like an animal who's coming out of hibernation. I'm like, oh, what's this? The sun, and it is sunny now too in Seattle. Like, I don't think that it's a coincidence that it's very sunny the first time that Julio Rodriguez put on a Seattle Mariners actual uniform.
Absolutely not. It was, like, I think the brightest day of the year, and that kind of, that, so far, that we've had this winter. Mm-hmm. Definitely getting a little extra sunshine from our favorite sun in Peoria.
Yeah, before we get into our listener questions, I want to do a quick vibe check. How are we feeling, gang? We got baseball back. I know Kate will be there in person, but how do we feel about having baseball in our lives and getting to watch these kids do their thing on TV?
Yeah, it's exciting. It feels, I mean, it always feels like a long time before baseball is back, but I think because I really stepped away and didn't do a lot this off season, it feels to me like it's coming very suddenly, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have all this stuff that we have to. I couldn't believe when I wrote out the schedule for this week, and we had spring training games at the end of this week. This is our first recaps of the year to put
on our schedule, right? Like, that's the big milestone.
Yeah. But, and this is early. I mean, this is earlier than spring training has always been, because Rob Manfred couldn't quite help himself. He had to fuck with something.
Well, so, and it's still sort of different, because last year the Mariners started extra early because of the Japan series.
Because of Japan, right.
But now it's like proper spring training all the way through for everyone. For everyone's just early.
Right. So it's like falling asleep, you know, slowly and then all at once, whatever that quote is. So that's kind of how it's felt a little bit, like it was the off season, the off season, the off season. But I feel like Christmas was like yesterday. Does anyone else feel like that? Just me? I know January really, really drags on, but it feels fast to me.
It does feel like, you know, they're there and suddenly we actually have it going. I think, you know, that's always the thing for spring training for me, is like first few days like of games are really exciting. And then it kind of starts to be like, okay, like, you know, especially now that I'm older and recognize, oh, this guy's hitting, you know, 680 in 21 plate appearances. That doesn't mean he's, you know, suddenly amazing. You know, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm not really deriving much from this, but it is fun to see, like, who looks different, who's made some sort of adjustment, those sort of things. So it's really, especially because pretty much across the rosters, the Mariners are going to have people who matter, either in the short term or the long term, in those lineups in big league camp. You know, there'll be some Colin Cowgill, you know, there'll be some sort of random Jose Marmolejos or something, but like, it's going to be a lot of guys.
Marmolejos! Yeah. Every time.
But it's going to be a lot of people who matter or could matter. And that makes, that's what this year is going to be. That's essentially what this entire year is going to be. So if we can go into spring training with that mindset, I think that's going to carry over into the regular season pretty nicely.
You know, talking about performances in spring training, and, you know, somebody always flashes in spring training. It's such a weird, limited sample. It's similar, I think, kind of to the Arizona Fall League, where you have, you know, you can have these big performances and then kind of never hear from a guy again. We have a question about that, do we not, Matthew?
We sure do, from Isabel Manassian herself. She wrote, both for better or worse, who are your picks for bad spring training, good season, and vice versa? So that actually requires us to do some critical thinking and think of who could actually do that this year. But there's always a couple. I mean, I remember Dan Vogelbach like led the Cactus League in hits, didn't he?
He came out clobbering. And a year after having a terrible sort of spring training that saw him essentially, well, two straight years of having mediocre spring trainings where he lost out on his full-time chance to Danny Valencia and then Ryan Healy. So, like, yeah,
that was the first of one of my great many. Dan Vogelbach has finally turned the corner articles, yes. Which is a source of both amusement and shame to me, looking back on them later.
Well, and he, you know, to be fair, he was like, you know, he was the team's all-star last year. So,
you know, that's fair.
And, you know, and he was legitimately good in the first half, and then he was legitimately very bad in the second half. So we got to see about that.
You know who was bad in spring training and then just bad? What was his name? That long-haired pitcher, Dylan Do you remember him? Blonde. He was just terrible. Dylan something. A left-hander. He was like 2 years
ago. Oh, Dylan Overton.
Dylan Overton. Yeah, that was one where...
I certainly do remember that.
He was dreadful in the spring, and that carried right on into being dreadful in the regular season. So, it's...
I feel like Juan Nicasio also had, unfortunately, a bit of that. Yeah, there's some... Okay. For this year, the pick that I don't like making, but just the easiest one, I think, is... I think Kyle Lewis comes out clobbering in spring training, and I worry he has a tougher time during the regular season. Especially, like, basically February and March performance, and then rough April and May. And I could totally see him turning it around later on, but I do think Kyle Lewis is someone who has the beautiful swing to sort of tee off on pitchers who are tuning it up, and then once people are working in all their breaking stuff, I think he's going to have to make some adjustments.
And he had that loud spring training last year. Remember last year it was Kyle Lewis has finally arrived, and then kind of went to Arkansas and was, you know, good, but not great. I don't know. I feel differently about Kyle Lewis. I think he is going to strike out a lot, but I'm buying on Kyle Lewis, which I know is not a popular thing to do. I think Eric Felea has a big spring training because he tends to show up really big and stuff like that. He loves Arizona. He's very comfortable. He was the MVP of the Fall League 2 years ago. And he just tends to do well and stuff like that. Like, he's not going to have a bad at-bat. So I think there's a possibility that he really lights up in spring training and is, like, maybe pushing for a roster spot and then goes back to Tacoma and kind of flattens out because that was... Well, I hope that that's different, especially with the Super Bowl and everything, but...
I think that...
I think he'll make a lot of noise, and people will be disappointed when he is assigned to AAA.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Taiwan Walker could be the alternate, the sort of flip side of that for me, of, like, he's absolutely, like, focused on sort of tuning it up in spring, and he's you know, working on getting his pitches right, but it's not, you know, it's thoroughly process-based, and the results may not look great, but... assuming things go well, that once he's in season and he's sort of working sequencing more efficiently, I think he could look a lot better.
I think it's going to take a while for Ty to kind of get used to this new regimen and, you know, the new way of doing things. And I think he's going to have to change a lot of, like, not just who he was in Seattle, but who he was in Arizona, too, because the Mariners have their own way of doing things, so... I think that he could have a slow start that kind of carries over into the regular season until hopefully it clicks and he puts it together, but I'm not as high as I want to be on Taiwan, even though I want him to do well probably more than anything else.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that part. I'll be rooting for Taiwan harder than anyone. But to answer Isabel's question, I think that Carlos Gonzalez is going to have a big spring just off muscle memory, basically. Like, remembering that he was once very good at baseball, and he's going to be facing a bunch of 22-year-olds in their first camp. And, like, pridefully part of that, too. Like, Carlos Gonzalez doesn't want to get punked by some kid from Southwest Missouri State or whatever. So I think he probably will hit, like, I'm picturing one really long, majestic spring training home run, and then Carlos Gonzalez in the regular season hits like 220 and gets released in July or something. But do not be surprised, in my opinion at least, if Carlos Gonzalez just is very, very rude to these young pitchers that he has to face. I like this one from from Keaton Galogli, play-by-play man for the Modesto Nuts. He wants to know, where do we think the top prospects will open the season? Because he has a personal interest here. How is my Modesto team going to be? So we have a lot of the prospects that are in camp right now who obviously won't make the big league roster on opening day. I think the big ones that we should start with, obviously, are Julio and Jared. Where do we see them starting the season, if you guys had to forecast it?
Well, first of all, shouts to Keaton, who is one of the brightest stars in our Mariners minor league broadcasting crown. Very glad to have him back. If you have not caught a Modesto Nuts game, you should. Keaton has a great announcer voice, and there's really nothing finer than just enjoying a game over the radio, sitting outside at a park or on your deck or something in the beautiful Seattle summer evening. Oh, it is. I'm so excited for those days. And something we should treasure, because, like, the A's are taking radio broadcasts off entirely. They're not going to be on the radio, so enjoy your radio while you have it.
Says the podcast host.
Yeah.
Preserve radio.
Yikes. I did sit down and kind of look at what Modesto's lineup could look like for Keaton. But if we want to just start off by talking about the big guys, I think Julio and John and I have disagreed on this. I think Julio returns to Modesto to start the year. If he smashes like he was smashing towards the end of last season, I could definitely see him getting moved up. He has a big spring training, maybe that factors into it, but he just didn't have that many at-bats at Modesto. It is a trickier level. It's a big step up from A-ball, especially as far as, like, breaking balls go. And, you know, you saw him chase some bad balls and get fooled by pitchers who were 4 and 5 years older than him, but I think that Julio starts back in Modesto. I think Jared starts back in Double-A. And again, could be a fast mover, but same thing. Like, he was promoted after a lot of the really quality arms were already out of Double-A. They had already been promoted up to their teams or to Triple-A. So I think, and you know, he didn't have a ton of time there. So I think that's where those guys start. Logan Gilbert, I don't know, because Triple-A, they say that they're going to use all the same balls, so I don't know what the purpose of putting Logan Gilbert in AAA is. He also didn't have a ton of time in AA, so I think he might start there before he's eventually moved up. Who are the other big guys? Obviously, Evan White will be in Seattle.
You'll have George Kirby probably in Modesto.
Modesto, yeah.
I think we've had a little bit of writing on this. I think it's been, I know Baseball American wrote about this, but Modesto should get Kirby, Brandon Williamson, and very
Juan
likely
Fenn, maybe.
Juan Fenn, yeah, and potentially Isaiah Campbell as well, who is also drafted.
I think Campbell will follow the Logan Gilbert plan where he goes to A-ball, and if he's crushing
in West Virginia.
I mean, it was very quickly evident that Logan Gilbert did not belong in A-ball. He was murdering, reaping souls.
Yes.
So if Isaiah Campbell's first few starts look like that, I think he'll move along to Modesto very quickly. Modesto should have a very strong pitching staff.
Yes.
Maybe the best in the entire system.
Yeah. I think that's probably where you'll see a lot of the starters. We got a couple questions, I think, about Sam Carlson. And he ostensibly is fully healthy, and it'll sort of be a decision on whether he does more time starting an extended spring and then goes to Everett. My guess is that he just starts in West Virginia, and they sort of work him on a, like, work him up essentially in workload. Maybe you'll see some like 2, 3, 4 inning starts with like intent, sort of the way that they did with like Kirby and Williamson in Everett this past year, and then work him up to sort of lengthier outings. But I do think they want to get him in games because he's missed so much time.
I mean, he's 21 and he's thrown 3 professional innings, so
yeah.
I think he will be absolutely pedal to the metal. They'll be looking for the bare minimum of competence out of him before they move him up.
Yeah. Other than that, I think Noelvi Marte, I don't think they put straight to West Virginia. He's really good. I mean, he's very talented, but, you know, that was sort of, a lot of people thought that was too big of a leap for Julio, and understandably, but Julio just happens to be very advanced as a player, also just like advanced in a ton of other ways. He's really mature. He's very fluent in English. Like, there's a lot of things that pretty much nobody is at 17 that Julio is. Like, you know, how many kids do you know that are just gigantic and really, you know, athletically talented and have great work ethics and are bilingual? Like, it, you know, it's a ton of stuff that he's just... Noel V, I think, is going to want to push on that path. I don't think it's fair to hold him to the exact same path. So I think you'll see him probably extended spring and then Everett.
I don't know. I could see him pushing to West Virginia if he
goes. I could see him by the end of the spring year.
And the main thing with him is really the English competence is, I think, not quite there. He is a very different person than Julio. And I have an interview with Noel V. Marte that I am in the process of transcribing. And he's a really interesting kid, very thoughtful, very intelligent, cautious in a way that Julio isn't cautious. Like, Julio will just try anything. And Noel V. is a little more reserved than that. And I think that kind of factors in as well into, like, what the organization feels comfortable with throwing at these guys. Yeah.
I think there's a good chance that you see Dunn and Gilbert both in AAA to start the year. And I would say there's a possibility Kelnick is there as well. But I do think it's a challenge, obviously, to put your own pitching prospects in Tacoma, and they saw that backfire. Right. They saw that happen go badly for Justice Sheffield last year. But it's also like Sheffield had been to the bigs and had been in AAA twice before, I think, at that point. This would be essentially the first time, or not essentially, literally the first time for both of them in AAA. And I think that's it is somewhat valuable, at least, to get a handle of pitching with the new or with the big league ball, which they would have in AAA, and, you know, having it emphasized with them that, like, we're looking for process. The results are going to be more challenging at this point, but, like, you know, that's sort of a test of their coaching staff at a certain point. Is like, okay, we're going to put you up against mostly, like, fringe big leaguers and, like, people who are the closest test to, you know, it's not necessarily going to be all top prospects, but it's going to be a really high floor of quality, and you can't take pitches off. And that's, you know, that's the best they can give them until they make space on the big league roster. So I do think you see those guys there.
Perfect. And that, I mean, the pairings will create something that I know that we all love, a lot of our listeners love, which is friendships. And we want to watch these kids become friends. Jared and Julio are already there, we think. At least if they're not, they fake it really well. And the question actually from Zach Mason says, with LeBlanc having left Marco behind, which is very sad, which is your favorite current Mariners friendship? And he lists some options. There is one that I forgot about, Vogelbach and Kikuchi. Kikuchi famously named his son a little bit after Vogelbach. I believe his son's middle name is Daniel, which is truly adorable. Zach lists Jared and Julio, as well as Justice Sheffield and Justin Dunn. Gilbert and Cal Raleigh, the battery mates. And then Evan White and Kyle Lewis, who are very tight from what I've gathered on the internet. Do you guys have a favorite of those pairings? Which one is your favorite Mariner friendship to watch from afar?
I want to point out that, like, all the AA guys are really close. It's not just Justice and Justin. It's not just Evan White and Kyle Lewis. It's all of those guys. It's Donnie Walton. It's Nick Zamorelli. Like, that group is really, really tight, and they all hang out. Like, they go golfing. They're in Arizona together now, and just... I think there's a really genuine... Oh, Fraley is part of that group. They get together and watch The Bachelor. They have Bachelor Mondays.
I did not know this. I did not
know that. Yeah, yeah. And their wives and girlfriends are all friends. They're harassing Justin Dunn for not proposing to his longtime girlfriend. Oof. Or Zamorelli. Yeah, they are good. They're a tight crew. And that really developed at Arkansas, and I think, like, when you're all stuck together in a place like Little Rock, Arkansas, which is not like the worst place to be, but also has kind of some limited options, you'll just hang out together. So I would say like that whole grouping is one of my favorites. But outside of that, I really love the Logan Gilbert Cal Raleigh relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's very fun, especially, you know, the sort of research you did on that and sort of the leadership dynamics that came out of that. I do think the Vogelbach Kikuchi friendship is very nice, and it also kind of represents the way that Vogelbach, you know, for a guy who ostensibly has one full big league season under his belt, has a sort of outsized relationship, I think, and importance to the rest of the organization as a guy who like has succeeded at every level now as a hitter. You know, obviously struggled a bit, but like has succeeded. Also is thoroughly gregarious, like from Jerry DePoto down to like Jared Kelnick getting texts from Vogelbach, you know, during the year last year and talking about like they talk about hitting and they goof around. Like I think that there is something very, very pleasant to as sort of seeing Vogelbach as a bonding agent in a clubhouse that really has had so much turnover that Vogelbach is one of the quote unquote veterans. I mean, that is a very strange thing, but you know, it's the kind of thing that you like to see in a young group of players.
Yeah, I love the Jared Julio friendship because of the amount of like playful banter that goes on between them. Like that's such a pillar of both like young male friendship, but also like when you're playing sports with someone who's like you realize is equally, if not more, talented than you, and you're already really good. It's like, oh, I have to kind of, like, for lack of a better term, they're just like busting each other's balls. Like Julio's like, yeah, I'm bigger than you. And Jared's like, oh, well, you know, like, you don't do this as well as me. Like, you don't have as much power, blah, blah, blah. Like, I love that because I think for these kind of guys, like the personalities that Jared and Julio are, I think that'll like push them also to become better baseball players. Like having them both in the same place, it's like when two stars collide, you know, there's going to be like a huge earthly event that comes out of them being in the same camp, I think.
Mm-hmm. I will say, I think a lot of the framing of the narrative where Jared is super intense and Julio is like really easygoing and fun, like they set that up, but Julio is incredibly intense. He is an intense competitor. He doesn't show it in the same way Jared does, but I feel like there's something in that narrative that is maybe missing a little bit of like the core competitor of who Julio is. And Julio thinks he's Simba. Like he believes he's here to, I mean, he doesn't care that nickname is already taken. Like that's who he views himself as. You see, he has like a little lion emoji that he uses a lot. And, you know, Simba like came and led the people. And I think like Julio sees himself as doing that too. So for all the like fun friendship parts, like do not overlook the heart of the competitor that beats within the chest of Julio Rodriguez.
Yes, but one thing he cannot do is remove the beat heart from the chest of the operation guy.
No, he sucks. Oh, man.
I was shocked. How is someone that bad at operation?
For anyone who's got very big hands. Have you seen
it? He does have huge hands.
I guess.
Using like small chopsticks there.
For anyone who didn't see it, if you just Google Julio Rodriguez operation or go to, I think it was Root Sports on Twitter, they had Julio play operation, the children's game. And he, for the life of him, could not do it. Like, he could not remove whatever organ it was without
the Charlie horse. Out. He could not get the Charlie. Look at it, it's so small. Like, he was so frustrated. And then he said at one point, oh, you're dead already.
Julio could not save this man.
No.
Such a bummer. But that's also, like, I love that they're already doing stuff like that with Julio, too. Like, getting him a little acclimated to, like, the sillier side of media. Like, after a certain point, you can't answer the, like, what was it like in West Virginia? What was working for you? Like, you gotta have him do some of the the like stupider stuff that is actually fun for the players too. So I love seeing all of that.
And also, if I know Julio, he went to Target that night and bought himself an Operation game and is like working on perfecting that. Just hates being bad at stuff.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, let's go to a double-barreled question from our pal Ben Thoen. What's up, Ben? Hope everything is going well for you out in Spokane. Ben has both a veteran question and a prospect question, which I think is good because we haven't really touched on the veterans. And I also hadn't really thought about this until reading Ben's question. He wrote, will Dylan Moore and D. Gordon be DFA'd by opening day? Patrick Wisdom seems like their guy at utility, and D does not fit. That is, unfortunately, probably fairly true. I don't know if he like will get DFA'd, but it does seem like the Mariners have a couple too many of that player, and one of them is not going to come with the team to Seattle on opening day, I would imagine. I don't know about Wisdom and Dylan Moore's options. That's obviously in play here, but... I feel like D. Gordon will make the team just because he's D. Gordon. Like, his name, I think, will help him a little bit there, and his service time and what he can do for the clubhouse and all that. Everyone seems to love D. So I'd be pretty surprised if D got DFA'd, but it does seem like there's an odd man out here, and I'm wondering who you guys think it'll be.
Yeah, so the trouble for Wisdom is he, I believe, has essentially never... played shortstop. He's not played it in the minors the last couple of years. He's not played shortstop or second base and the big league level or in AAA. He's pretty much exclusively been like a third baseman, first baseman, and he like splashed a little bit of minor league outfield. So I don't think he will be able to supplant sort of a utility spot. Because, you know, you just need someone who can play every spot, you know, defensively there. I think Wisdom, because he's got a split deal, as they call it, he should start in the minor leagues probably as the full-time third baseman there. Dylan Moore can be sent down to the minors. They obviously like him just because he's got more pop than the average sort of utility guy, kind of. What they were hoping Taylor Motter might be, they still hope Dylan Moore could be, essentially.
The topic of my thesis, where does tiny, tiny Dylan Moore get that power?
Indeed. Yeah, I mean,
I continue to research. I have some applications in for grants.
So I think you're right, Matthew, that D... I think D makes it to opening day because he... The Mariners, their options are essentially keep him and have him hopefully be sort of a positive hashtag, you know, veteran presence. And also just, you know, he is, I believe, the most sort of recognizable player on the team right now. He is sort of the face of the team in addition to Kyle Seager. You sort of keep him around and hopefully find a trade fit for him so that he can go somewhere and be that he has a better fit. They've said publicly they're intending to work him at shortstop and maybe even in the outfield again. But I don't think they DFA him just because they've been pretty loath to fully throw in the towel on guys like that. And even if it's something like a Jay Bruce type trade where they basically pay all the money and get a non impact prospect back, or non-notable prospect back. I do think that by the end of spring training, you'll see some injuries crop up for other teams, and they'll find somewhere to go.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much exactly it. I would be sad to see either Dylan Moore or D. Gordon go, just because of the sentimental value I have attached to them. With Dylan Moore, it really is all from one play, the Felix catch. But I don't think
he gets DFA'd. I mean, you can send him down to the minors. They don't have an imminent need to sort of create a 40-man spot. They haven't put Mitch Haniger on the 60-day IL yet, which they will do, so that can create another 40-man spot if that's a real issue. They're not currently really, really hurting for places to put guys.
I would also add Tim Lopes as part of this mix as well.
Yes.
Don't overlook my man Tim Lopes.
Indeed.
Who I would put a little ahead of Wisdom because he has a little more. I don't think Lopes is great at third, but he does have the ability to play short and second, and was very capable in the outfield. So.
Yeah.
That's true. Shouts to Tim Lopes, who is younger than Christopher Negron. That's the way I remember them. I was like, okay, one of them was a little older, and that was an assistant to the general manager or whatever it is.
Indeed.
Player development. He's working in player development, and he's so happy. His tweets are so... Either they're, like, holding a gun to his head and making him tweet these things, or he is really, really happy in his new role. Yeah. I assume it's the latter.
A lot of... Now read that back to me, Christopher. okay, Ben's prospect question is, who is a prospect currently outside the Mariners' top 15 or top 20 that you could see cracking the top 10 this time next year? So, to me, this also kind of means, like, who, if they have a big spring training, will get a little more of the prospect buzz that they've so far lacked a little bit. And also, this is, I guess, subjective a little bit as who you think is the Mariners' top 15, top 20. But who are some guys you're looking for that could really make a name for themselves with a good spring training or an early good start in the minors this year?
This is tricky because with the Mariners, the way the prospect, and we're working on our prospect list right now to be released soon, there's a pretty steep drop off after like 11, 12, 13-ish. Mm. And by the time you're in 20s, you're into like relievers, like the Art Warrens and the Jack Andersons and the Joey Gerbers of the world. So it's tough because it is still it's kind of a top-heavy system right now. So it's tough to pinpoint someone like that, but I think the one person who fits this criteria, who I think like is maybe a 20 for me, and could edge his way, probably not into the top 10, but like closer to the top 10, is Austin Shenton, the third baseman from Florida International, who they took last year, who's also a local kid. Great story, big personality, and I think he could be a fast mover if he has a big showing at spring training.
Yeah, I think Shenton, just sort of looking at the list, I think Shenton is exactly who I would pick there. Not necessarily because he will, although he certainly could, but because there's such a I guess gap in likely upside. Exactly as you said, like it's a lot of guys after the sort of top 15 or so who are already in the bullpen or already have some pretty clear flaws or are injured, you know, and aren't going to necessarily be able to take a big step. Like you could say maybe in a year and a half, like Levi Stout or Michael Limoncelli, who were sort of well-regarded top 10 round picks this year, could be there, but neither of them are going to pitch this year. So that's a little bit, or they're barely going to pitch this year. So that's a little bit tougher. The other guy, I guess, you might put on that list is Jonathan Classe, who we we've talked to, we've heard a lot about. He's gotten a lot of sort of positive reviews for incredible speed. Had a really great debut season in the DSL this year, and has gotten caught some eyes. And he will play stateside this year, probably starting in Arizona. But you know, that's I guess a guy who, if he's really pops, could fly up, because you'll have seen a lot more of him. You'll see him in live reps more consistently than what people can generally get in the Dominican League. You'll get a little bit of a more consistent quality in terms of opponents, and you could even see him in Everett or maybe West Virginia. And if he's going those places and still successful, then I think you start to see him creep quite a bit up the list.
Yeah, Class A is on my list as well as potential. I think very much he could help himself out with a good spring training. I think he'll get a couple of looks. They have not had him up for any mini camp or anything. He's still in the DR, so Noel V just arrived recently. He wasn't in the mini camp stuff, but they both did high performance camp earlier. So I think it's just a way to kind of limit the amount of time that they have to be away from home. Because, you know, again, we're talking about 17-year-old, 18-year-old kids. But I think that he's one that if he can hit and if he starts showing up well, you'll start to see him, like John said, pop really, really quickly. Because he's already gotten a basically 70 grade tool in his speed. So
translates reasonably well to being a good center fielder, because he's got reasonable instincts, and you would expect him to be able to stick in center field with that speed. So he's already handling the best defensive position, or the best outfield defensive position. He's a left-handed hitter who can get the most out of his speed. So you just need a little bit of pop, and you need to continue, you know, just keeping that offensive presence showing.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to hit a lot. He just has to hit some. And honestly, the system is a little thin on outfielders. I was looking down the list, trying to project Modesto's outfield, actually, which especially if Julio goes to AA is really thin. Which means it's also thin in West Virginia. There's just, for the glut of outfield talent we kind of have currently, there's not a lot in those low minors. So for him, if he can make an impression, there might be a space to play him. And, you know, sometimes they'll just call a guy up and have him fill in for a little while because they need a warm body. And then if they impress, they kind of earn a chance to stick around. And I mean, definitely he's held in good regard with the club by being invited to high performance camp, because that's money that they invest in you if they're willing to like put you up and put you in an apartment. So definitely one to watch.
I am, of course, pleading the fifth on this question, but I do want to round out Ben's inquiries with a Connor Sadzek update, which, John, I believe you have some info for us. Ben wanted to know about Sadzek, because Ben really knows his audience here. So indeed. What happened to Connor Sadzek?
So Connor Sadzek, really great sort of start with the Mariners after getting acquired by Seattle from Texas. He had essentially elbow issues that shut him down and eventually led to Tommy John, I believe, during September, which is a shame because it means he's probably going to miss most of this year as well. But at the end of the end of October, essentially, the Mariners snuck him through waivers. Same time they DFA'd Ryan Healy, Chasen Bradford, both of whom had enough service time to elect free agency. But Connor Sadzek, unfortunately for him, did not have enough time in the majors to elect free agency, which means he is just going to be in Tacoma rehabbing, which means he doesn't get paid major league salary and doesn't accrue service time while he's on the IL, which is a bummer. If you followed the Marco Gonzalez arbitration sort of discussion. That was sort of an issue that happened for Marco with the Cardinals, where he felt like the team recognized he needed surgery and they sent him down right before he got surgery so that they wouldn't have, that he wouldn't get service time. This is not quite that, since it was the end of the season where everyone has to either be added. You can't have people on the injured list for the winter. But yeah, so Connor Zazek hopefully will be back maybe late this season. But not imminently, unfortunately.
Thank you. We will all be waiting with bated breath for the return of Connor Zazek. One more good question that we liked from Joel Marquez at Trader Joel, or perhaps Trader Joel. Sorry to this man if we said his name wrong. Any major stuff improvements from the players that took part in the most recent gas camp? Who is this year's LJ Newsome? So essentially, have we heard anything about someone who this offseason worked really hard, improved their velocity, has, you know, best shape of their life, great stuff, blah, 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 who can kind of blossom the way that LJ Newsome did around this time last year?
Well, I think gas camp was a little scaled down from where it was last year, but I know that Devin Sweet was there, and supposedly has added a little to his repertoire. He's an exciting one. He's got a killer changeup, and he's somebody who I would keep an eye on. Really interesting story, too, where he thought he wasn't going to be drafted. He was signed as an undrafted free agent, was ready to head off to engineering grad school at Virginia Tech and, you know, kind of took a chance and signed with the Mariners, I think probably for like a candy bar, and was really, really an exciting arm to watch in West Virginia under Alon Leichman, who is the pitching coach there and who is himself kind of a changeup expert. So that just... that's one to watch, I think, because if he can just kind of poke over that 90 mile an hour mark, I think he could be someone really special. As far as somebody who I think people will be talking about who wasn't on anyone's radar, he wasn't technically, I don't think, at gas camp, but I think Penn Murphy, especially after his Arizona Fall League appearance and being part of Team USA, he is a guy who just absolutely, I think, was on no one's radar and now has had a few stories written about him, and he should be pitching in Arkansas. He's definitely one to watch as well.
Yeah, I think Devin Sweet is my pick as well, especially just literally in the mold of LJ Newsome. Sweet throws a lot of strikes. He has he's had great numbers in the low minors because of very good command and, you know, enough sort of command of three different pitches that he can miss bats. I think that I know I've seen him 90 to 93, and if he can actually be like 91, 94, 92 to 95, I mean, that is, you're not just looking at like, oh, this is a guy who might, you know, get on a 40-man roster. That's like, oh, you have like, You're looking at an actual three pitch repertoire starting pitching prospect, which is absolutely in the cards for him if he's made those strides. I'm not sure if this. I think Brandon Williamson is a bit sort of too rich for this classification as a second round pick. So I won't say him. I do think he's a guy who you could see make some sort of significant hay. But I'll say Elvis Alvarado as a sort of another lower profile guy. He's one of the guys that the Mariners got in the Hunter Strickland and Roenis Ilias trades to the Nationals last year. He's sort of a late convert to pitching after spending his first few years in the pros as an outfielder. He's in the upper 90s and has hit triple digits with his fastball. He's got a decent slider. And I think he's sort of a guy who, he was Rule 5 eligible, so he's already working kind of against the clock, but they have gotten as much as they can out of sort of working on his mechanics to get him in the strike zone so that he can shoot up the ranks, sort of like Reggie McClain did perhaps last year. So I think that's the closest comp there.
Tight. Okay, it's my turn. You know how you'll hear actors talk about, like, yeah, I did a couple for them, and then I had to do one for me. Like I did some movies that are going to be critically acclaimed and that the people wanted, but then I also took one where I get to drive a race car.
Yo, bottom line.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing now. This is a question from Eric Sanford, who we love dearly, a staff writer at Lookout Landing. Eric wants us to pitch our best Mariner commercial ideas for 2020. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have come prepared, so don't worry. You guys can kick back. First one, they would never do this, but it would be so funny, I think, would be to have Kyle Seager and Dee Gordon running a daycare for all the kids, and they have to, like, do little activities with them, like some finger painting, some stuff like that, like little, like, baseball related things that are also, like, childish. I think that would be very funny. Also, because Kyle Seager has shown in the past that he's actually pretty funny in these commercials, so I think he'd be a good sport about, like, leaning into the old guy stuff.
Oh, Seager is excellent in the commercials.
Yeah, and they could also go the other way, I guess, where Kyle Seager's in, like, an old folks' home. I could totally see him being okay with that. But again, they would never do that. That was just one idea that I was like, that'd be really funny. But
that'd be appropriate, too, because Dee just became a dad today. He had a little Dee.
He did. Congrats to Dee and his baby and his partner.
Wife.
Yeah. Yeah, they did have a baby. It's very cute. Check out Dee's baby wherever you get your babies. The other idea I had, this one is, like, the classic, like, just kind of leaning into puns and, like, the low-hanging fruit, but, like, a cooking class with Justice Sheffield, like, chefing it, something like that.
I bet you anything that one's already in the hopper.
I think it'd be funny to watch him try to do, like, I don't know if they would do this, but, like, cultural things for different players. Like, if he was trying to make, like, Japanese food with Kikuchi or, like, Latin food with some of the Latin guys, that'd be kind of fun. Like, and again, I don't know if they would actually ever do that, but I do think we'll probably see something chef related because I'm sure they also want to market him, and that one kind of just writes itself.
And he buys into it too. I mean, his Twitter handle is Top Chef, so it's obviously not a nickname he has a problem with.
Yeah. On the name thing too, like, they're not going to market Kendall Graveman, but, like, him putting hitters into graves, like, that's also probably not very likely to happen in real life. Sorry to Kendall Graveman. He's not like a I'm going to kill you type of pitcher. He's like, I'm going to go six innings with four hits and scatter some walks. So not really an intimidator, but that is that's a good name one. I mean, Marco will be in one. He has to be, kind of. I wonder what that's going
to
look like.
I would like feisty Marco, like, to somehow make an appearance, like maybe Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Marco or something.
Ooh.
Where something where Marco's feistiness gets to come through.
Yeah, or what about Just Got Paid Marco, where he comes to the clubhouse in, like, a sports car and, like, a suitcase full of money. Again, that would never happen, but I would love to see Marco embrace a little less of the wholesome vibe and more of the, like you said, the spicy Marco, who I want to hear him talk about the Astros, too. I think he hinted about some stuff on Twitter. He, like, had some jokes that he felt, like, sent off, but I haven't heard a good juicy quote yet, and I think Marco, maybe he's actually plotting a real statement, like something that will make him sound fully formed, but I'm waiting on that too. I want someone in the Mariners organization to say something, so we'll see.
I would love
Marco's
to see
Marco's our best bet for... Sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I would love to see a, like, Back to the Future sort of parody, where, like, maybe it's Kyle Seager as sort of the old mad professor, but, like,
as Christopher Lloyd. Man, we are doing Kyle Seager dirty. Jeez, you guys, he's like 33.
I mean, well, it's just like the only player older than him on the roster is Yoshihisa Urano, right? Like, and that, you know, it's not quite the same effect, but it could also just be some random fan, like, just accident, you know, they are basically just dragged to the future, and in the future, you know, everything's beautiful, verdant, fountains, everything, and it's just like, oh, Julio and Jared are there greeting them, Evan White's picking baseballs, you know, they've won 8 straight World Series, and greeting everyone, you know, like, over the top, but something fun, and sort of really leaning into, like, all the prospects, just sort of in prospect in paradise.
Yeah, look at John go high concept with it.
Yeah, man, yeah, you got some stuff for everybody there.
Yeah, I hope we get JP and Shed too. They seem like they'd be a good a good duo to market. Hopefully they're playing every day up the middle too, so there's that element. But I think Shed would be good. Shed seems like the kind of guy who would lean into this sort of thing and have a lot of fun with
it. I would watch a commercial of Shed craftily avoiding drinking water. Again, something they would never do, but like all his teammates trying to get him to drink water and him just like avoiding it.
Or the Kyle Lewis telling Shed what to drink. There we go.
Yes, there we go. Drink some water, man. We gotta get an audio of that.
Yeah, that also require all of the fans to be in on like several in jokes.
We need the Mariners fan base, which I don't think can afford to be any more online, would need to somehow be 10 times more online.
They just have to follow the account. Just retweet all this stuff. My ideas were, I would like one of JP Crawford and Evan White going around Seattle like catching everything. Because both are like Evan White catching it, JP throwing it. So like, you know, obviously you start off easy with the fish, but then just catching and throwing other Seattle landmarks around.
Yeah, catch some Amazon stock.
Maybe like the big spheres. I don't know.
catch some.
The other one I would like to see, and this relates to one of my favorite best friend pairings, is I would like an 80s style sitcom introduction theme song of Vogue and Kikuchi, best friends, like sort of maybe a Perfect Strangers style thing where it's like the two of them in like yellow leisure suits just walking around downtown Seattle like having a wonderful time and like there being a cute theme song. And
wasn't there one kind of like that at like a few years ago?
You're accusing me of plagiarism?
No, well, no, but I do. I feel like there was one sort of like that where it was like maybe feel like
excuse
maybe
me, I'm not fooling. The Astros. I didn't cheat.
All right. I'm not. I'm. It was a good concept. I think it's worth bringing back.
Anyway, those were
that we hacked the Mariners database. We knew all these were coming. So one of us is going to prison for sure. I'll fall on the sword, I guess.
Indeed.
But I should.
We will have no. The other two of us will have no punishment whatsoever. But Matt, we'll have to feel bad. Right here.
I want to make it clear. Yes, we did cheat. No, it did not impact the podcast.
Yes,
we earned this. We earned this whole hour of content, and it's just a coincidence that we happen to know everything that was coming. That's not our fault.
Pull my name off the podcast.
They should have changed up the questions if they didn't want us to know about them.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. But yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go get this this tattoo finished up.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice,
you guys have lives to live, as do our listeners. But we made it. I noticed that I've been ending all of these by saying, like, before we know it, baseball will be here. And now, look at that. It is here. And we're going to have to analyze all of these players actually doing things on the field. And I, for one, cannot wait.
Oh, wow. I really can hear the excitement in your voice.
That was genuine.
I think Matthew suffers a little bit from Zach Gottschalk syndrome, where I think he struggles to properly like emote his, you know, tone his voice for genuine excitement. But that was genuine excitement.
I will say Matthew signed up for one of the earliest recaps right off the bat, so good on you, Matthew.
Yeah, I was being sincere. I miss watching baseball. It's not my fault that I don't know who any of these guys are.
It's not Mariners like you've been doing baseball. This podcast with us for
it's called being willfully ignorant.
That's the slogan for the 2020 season. Mariners baseball. You don't know who any of these guys are, but hey, it's baseball.
Actually, a good commercial would be like a first day of college sort of orientation where they're all wearing name tags, introducing themselves.
And they have to play icebreakers. Yeah. Let me see Julio Rodriguez do a thrust fall onto Dylan Moore.
That is much better than what I thought you were going with, which was like bringing in like a guy, like a person, like an FDA agent, like suit, like testing it, and then coming out and like, this is technically 83% baseball. Like, you are legally allowed to call this baseball, narrowly, but
that's dark.
That would be funny though too. I mean, they'll take one of these ideas. Coming to a TV near you, just like the Mariners, actually. We probably should mention, if you're listening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the Mariners spring training games will be on TV. So you can tune in if you have Root Sports, or you can find a Root Sports stream or whatever. The time has come. You can watch these guys in real life. I'm sure a lot of us, myself included, have not seen all of the minor league guys actually play yet. So it'll be cool to get it with like a real telecast and with Dave Sims and Blowers and all that. It's going to feel pretty close to the real thing. And that is upon us. So thank you, Kate and John, as always, for talking baseball with me, or at me in some instances. And to all the listeners who sent questions and who subscribe to this podcast and support us, we appreciate you greatly, and you will hear us back in your ear holes in no time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.